Hi everyone, it's Alex, and welcome to our first full-length episode. Before we get started, I've got just a few announcements to make. First of all, I wanted to mention that though they're not the most plot-relevant and the main season can be understood without having listened to them, our mini-episodes sort of serve as a season zero and tend to be a lot more lighthearted than this episode is going to be, so if you want something fun to introduce you to the characters before listening to this episode, that is the place to go. Make sure you check the content warnings for this episode before listening, because it is quite a sad one. Second of all, we now have a Patreon. That is the best way to financially support us here at the Children of Room 56. Most of our cast and crew are students, so support from our listeners would really help us keep this podcast going. Plus, we're offering some really cool stuff, like early access to episodes, a patrons-only Discord server, bonus episodes, and bloopers. So if you have the means to do so, please consider donating to us. If not, telling a friend about the podcast is support enough. The last thing I wanted to mention is that there's a trailer for The Adventures of the Forget-Me-Nots at the end of this episode, so make sure you stay right until the end to listen to that and check out the podcast after you've listened to this episode. Now, without further ado, please enjoy Season 1, Episode 1, The Disappearance of Chip Romero, Part 1.
Right. Okay, I don't actually know if this thing is on, but whatever. I'm just going to assume that it is. God, I don't even know where to start. My name should probably start with that. My name is Sam Moss. I'm 18 years old. And I go to Spiritsford Secondary School in, Spiritsford, if that wasn't obvious. it's a small, often forgotten town in England, despite the Spiritsford history books being absolutely littered with them. Many of the townsfolk have a remarkable ability to just forget that anything strange has ever happened here. Or they just like to pretend that everything's normal. Probably the latter. There are only a few of us who acknowledge all the disappearances and equally strange happenings of this town. We call ourselves the Spiritsford Paranormal Investigation Squad. We're here for the people when they encounter something that can't be explained. Whether they think they've seen a ghost, their friend has gone missing, or they think the Spiritsford vampires are at it again. We always try to find out the truth. Or we did. When there were still six of us. Look, I'm gonna cut to the chase. One of us has gone missing. He was our newest member, and he was probably the best. He was brilliant, and amazing, and fantastic. He was my friend. Chip Romero has been missing for 3 days, but in the eyes of Spiritsford Police Department, and let's be real, most of the town, He's dead. The school memorial service was a bit of a disaster. Holding a memorial service only 3 days after a student goes missing sounds a bit hasty, I know, but that's just how the school does things. How they've learned to do things. Always assume another student will go missing in the next week, get it done and over with, so you don't have to go to back-to-back memorials. Very efficient work, Spiritsford Secondary. Great job! We gathered in the assemblies hall at 10 o'clock in the morning. Every student and every teacher in the school dressed head to toe in black. Heads bowed, or at least their heads were bowed. Mine wasn't, and neither was Nikki's, or Calliope's, or Freddy's. Our eyes were fixed on the stage where a tall boy with blue eyes was very clearly struggling with a microphone. That boy was Evan Pierce, and he looked awful. His hair was a lot messier than it usually is, and his skin was horribly pale. He looked like he hadn't slept in a few days, which he probably hadn't. Oh, poor bastard. His hands were shaking as he tried to adjust the microphone stand to his height.
Chip was my best friend. He always seemed so happy. Well, he made me want to be happy. If it wasn't for him, I might not be here today. Chip was so talented, so smart. He wasn't appreciated enough.
And that's when he started crying. He sounded so tired and I don't know, strangled? His throat must have been raw. I can't imagine how much he cried. I'm not going to put the whole recording on here because he just keeps crying for 5 minutes and it would be cool to play that for you. Plus, it wouldn't be a very interesting listen. But, here's the part where he isn't crying.
I think that's all I can get through.
Well done, Evan. Good lad. Brave boy. As headmaster, I'm proud of all of you. But what Evan has done today is so brave. I wouldn't have been able to get up here and talk if my best friend had. Well, you know. Now, while Evan gets seated, I think I'll talk to you about your...
So long. Is he in today?
Yeah, he was in English.
And why isn't he here?
Oh, come on, Sam. Try to calm down a bit.
How am I supposed to calm down when someone, Nikki, decided to be 15 minutes late? We have clients today. We have cases. He is meant to be here.
Actually, the clients just canceled.
What, all of them?
Every single one.
What? Why?
It's raining blood.
Oh.
That's not ideal. And do you think that's what's holding Nikki up?
He did go home for his free period.
Probably didn't want to go outside.
Wow, I wonder why.
Probably didn't want to get his stupid shirt all bloody.
Can you blame him?
Yes, it's an ugly shirt. It'd probably look better covered in blood.
You're an idiot.
I am a perfectly reasonable and clever human being.
Who's also an idiot.
Come on, then. Chip, Evan, stop flirting.
We're not...
I don't care what you're doing or not doing. We need to go find Nikki.
Mr. Newton tried his best, I think. He just kept talking about how much Chip would be missed. He repeated himself about 12 times. It was a mess to watch. I stopped listening after a few minutes. You know, I'd rather hear about Chip's life from someone who actually knew him, not from some old man trying to remember which missing kid he's talking about. I spent most of the time looking around the room trying to find something more interesting than Newton's speech. Which is how I noticed Evan was gone. Evan? Are you okay? Oh, well, you know how bad I am with words. Will a hug do? I'm going to hug you. Is that okay? Can I hug you?
Yes. Yes, please. Thank you.
No problem. Do you think you should go back inside?
No.
Okay, you don't have to. I just thought, you know...
How can I go back inside, Sam? My best friend is dead. Not just that, I made a fool of myself in front of the entire student body. I can't believe I just sobbed in front of everyone. Stupid.
Hey, don't be so hard on yourself. You're grieving. You're allowed to be a mess like this.
Oh, so I'm a mess now.
You know I didn't mean it like that. Come on. She would have wanted you there.
Okay.
I mean, Mr. Newton said it himself.
You're a brave boy, Evan Pierce.
Shut up.
Introduce yourself.
Calliope Morris. Why are you doing this?
We always record these, so we've got all the notes in one place.
I mean, yeah, we always record the notes on the case, but we don't have a case at the moment. What are you recording notes for, Sam?
Chip.
I don't see how recordings of Evan crying are notes on Chip.
Well, I cut out the actual bits where he's crying.
Oh, how respectful of you. Does he know you're recording this speech and your conversations with him?
I felt bad about it as soon as he looked at me.
Did he do the puppy dog eyes? The Evan Pierce puppy dog eyes are lethal.
He looked at me and he was crying and his eyes were swollen. I felt so bad.
So you stopped recording, right? Right? You did stop recording, didn't you?
I may have recorded just a little bit more.
I think I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
What's that?
A moral compass! Your current one is clearly broken!
I think we're getting off track here. Do you have anything you wanted to add about the memorial?
I really wanted to follow Evan out of the assembly hall like you did. I mean, Mr. Newton was really not doing a good job. It's like he didn't even know Chip existed until he died.
Disappeared.
Passed away.
Went. Missing.
Passed away. We'll have this argument later. I really just wanted to leave the memorial, to give Evan a big hug and tell him everything was going to be okay, but I couldn't lie to Evan while he's grieving. I had to stay. Stay there for Chip. Stay there for Evan. Stay there for... Well, for me, I guess. But Newton was driving me up the wall. I was so angry. He didn't care about Chip. He was just trying to fill the time he'd put aside for Evan's speech. So he just kept droning on and on, repeating himself again and again, the same old, oh yes, he will be missed thing. Every time I heard Newton speak, I just got angrier because Newton just didn't know him. Not really. He knew him as the trans boy in year 11. And I knew that because Newton only knows me as the trans girl in year 13. I know what it's like. I know that it hurts when people only know you as the trans kid, when people only define you by your identity, because that doesn't happen to cis people, just us. And even in death, Chip is still defined only by that. Ugh, you should have heard Newton's speech. It was horrific.
I bet it was.
And I was so angry because it was making my friend sound so one-dimensional. Chip was more than just the token trans boy. He was so much more. A great writer, a fantastic singer, a frankly amazing paranormal investigator. And he was my friend. And it felt so good to have another trans friend. I mean, I know other trans people, obviously. The town's full of them, but I've never really been close to someone like Chip. Someone who really understands. Someone who I can talk to and tell the whole truth, not just a watered-down version of it. I really wanted to make a speech. I really did. But I wasn't sure what to say.
But you're a writer, Calliope. Aren't you supposed to have a way with words?
I mean, in theory, yes. I'm a poet and I'm a writer, but I don't know the first thing about speeches. I can never find the words. I don't like standing in front of people and talking.
Callie, you're a drama student.
That's different! Acting is playing characters, making a speech is real. Too real for me. So, I stayed in the crowd and took out a piece of paper and pen. And I wrote a poem. A new poem for Chip.
Can I hear it?
I don't know. It's really rough.
Please. For professional research purposes.
It's pretty bad.
You're my best friend, and I love you.
Okay. I remember a silhouette amidst glass panes. You turned. Sunlight framed your face, and the corners of your eyes crinkled when you smiled. And you watered the monstera, muttered softly inside. I remember the absence of you, wrongness in my gut, and his weeping blue eyes, the end of the world. Now this room is silent, cold in your absence. Your watering can is untouched. The monstera droops with the promise of a slow death. It too feels the hollow absence of you, and all we can do is remember.
That's amazing, Calliope.
It's horrible. And I have pretty much nothing else to add. You brought me here to recite a poem and that's it.
Worth it.
I think you and I have different definitions of worth it.
Definitely worth it.
You look so stupid.
I don't look stupid. Gotta do.
Agreed.
Yeah, Chip's right. You look so incredibly stupid.
So stupid. So, so stupid, Ev.
Yeah, well, it's not my fault. I'm too tall to fit under your umbrella. This is the price I pay for only being friends with short people.
I am not short! I'm really not. I'm actually very tall.
You're willing to bend down to short people's height. I, on the other hand, am not.
One of us. One of us. One of us. One of us.
I will never sink down to your level. Never.
Wow, Evan, can't believe you hate short people.
Yeah, Evan, kind of rude, if you ask me.
I don't hate short people. My best friend is short.
Aw, I'm your best friend.
I was talking about your mum, actually. Yeah, Kathy Romero and I were besties.
That's the most adorable your mum joke I've ever heard.
You're so sweet. You know that, right?
Shut up.
It was all too much. The service, the speeches, the black clothes, and most of all, that massive, too big photo of Chip on the stage. Those deep brown eyes and that dark blue hair. The freckles across his skin. That wide, beaming smile. It was too much. I felt like Chip was watching me, listening to me from inside the photo, laughing at my speech. It was too much. This is too much. I think I need to stop recording now.
You know, they never found the body.
What?
Of course it was Sam Moss who spoke first. Of course it was her. If I've learned anything about Sam over these last few years, it's that she doesn't know when to shut up. We were gathered in the classroom after the memorial, and the rest of us stayed silent, as we should. A moment of silence for Chip. A moment of silence that Sam was ruining. Even Nikki, who is usually Sam's equal in talkativeness, managed to find it in his heart to shut up. I wished for once that Sam would take a leaf out of his book. Preferably before I snapped at her and lost another friend. Silently, I watched my friends' reactions to Sam's statement. I watched Calliope glare at her, Nikki shake his head in warning, and Freddie, good-natured as ever, shoot her a small smile before going back to his sketchbook. I refused to meet her eyes. She didn't need any more encouragement, and I refused to give her any. But still, she continued.
The body. It was never found, right?
Sam, can we please just leave
We can't rule out the possibility that he's still alive. We need search parties.
What we need to do is accept that he's gone and get on with our lives. We need to be working out how to carry on after this.
What we need to be doing is looking for him.
I suppose we could go to the police. Not that they'd help at all. Probably make it worse, if anything.
Oh yeah, the same police that decided he's dead. Yeah, I'm sure that'll go great.
I know.
Police won't help here. I don't think anyone will. This is gonna end up the same as it always does. Someone disappears, no one does anything, and they never come back.
And we're supposed to accept that?
Well, no, but...
What else can we do but accept it?
He isn't dead. I know it.
Sam.
Can you all please shut up for 1 minute? Please. We all want him alive. We all want him here with us today. But he's not. And the sooner we all accept that, the easier it'll be for all of us.
He's gone.
Evan has a point. I'm sorry, Sam, but he's right.
Chip's alive. I know it. He's out there somewhere, and wherever he is, someone should be looking for him. There should be an investigation, and I want a part of it. I want to find him and bring him home. I'm gonna show everyone how wrong they are. But we're not arguing about this. Now everyone out. We're done here.
Sam.
You know, what did I just say? We're done here.
Well, that was intense.
Did you not hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
Then why aren't you leaving?
You know, just because one of your friends is gone, it doesn't mean you have to hide away from us. You're isolating yourself. It's not good for you. I know you, Sam. I know you. And I know that if you're alone, you'll only suffer more. You need people. You need your friends. So do us all a favor and let us be there for you.
I hate it when you're right. Nikki left. Eventually, when I told him I wanted some space. He collected his things and he left me alone in this depressing, empty classroom. He smiled before he left, told me I could go to him if I ever wanted to talk or anything. It's nice of him, I think. He's nice. He's a good friend. I'm lucky. You know, I think I'll always remember the first time I met Chip Romero.
He was so small back then. He barely looked old enough to be at the school. He was 13, I think. He was new in town. He never really talked about why he moved schools or why he came to Spiritsford, of all places. Maybe he wanted a fresh start. To go somewhere where people didn't know he was trans. He had brown hair then. It's strange. He's had blue for so long that I find it weird to think of him having any other color. And he didn't want to be a paranormal investigator. Not at first. He just wanted somewhere quiet to sit and have lunch. He didn't know anyone. Didn't want to sit in the lunch hall alone. He met Freddy in one of his classes. It was biology, I think. And Freddy brought him over to room 56. And that's where we all met him. And we've loved him ever since. After a few weeks, I asked him if he wanted to help with our investigation, and he said yes. He was great. He solved most of our cases. I mean, almost single-handedly. Made us all look a bit silly. I mean, we were meant to be the experienced ones, and along comes Chip Romero, working out that the hotel ghost had something to do with the missing dog, making connections between the Spiritsford vampires and Sonya Slater's death. It was Chip's idea to actually ask the local wizards if they had anything to do with the gateways to other people's worlds popping up all over town. Turns out they did. I'm not sure how we got anything done before Chip turned up. And I'm not sure how we're going to get stuff done now that he's gone. Before Chip, the five of us didn't really consider each other friends. I was friends with Evan and Nikki, best friends, actually, but Freddie and Calliope were more like close acquaintances. You know, colleagues. We were happy to spend time together, but we didn't really talk about things other than the cases we were trying to solve. Chip made us friends. He made us family. I feel like I've lost a brother.
Sorry I didn't turn up.
It's fine.
The vampires must be having a field day, though. I mean, hey, free blood and everything.
That's what your mind goes to?
Well, I mean, it's basically free food for them, right? I mean, that's like if it started raining pizza or something.
Nick, your mind confuses me so much.
No, no, he's right, though. It is basically like pizza rain. I bet they're collecting it in buckets or something.
You know, we probably won't have to worry about vampire attacks for weeks.
Am I the only one who didn't consider vampires?
No. Me and Calliope are also sane. Right, Kali?
I may have considered the vampires a little bit.
One of us. One of us. One of us.
Kali, I believed in you.
Sorry, fellas. Looks like Calliope's one of the cool kids.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
So, are we going back to school?
Nah, it's raining blood. That's as valid of an excuse as any.
We're just gonna stay here?
Ew, fine by me.
You can go back if you want.
If you want to walk all the way back to school with blood raining down on you the whole way.
Yeah, I think I'll stay here.
Yeah, I thought so.
I didn't want to face her. I just wanted to go home and get some sleep. But considering my last few attempts had been unsuccessful, I forced myself to stand my ground. Flowers in hand, and approached Kathy Romero's door. As the door opened, I closed my eyes. The familiar scent of the Romero house filled my nostrils. It took everything I had not to cry. And then she said my name, her voice so warm, so comforting. And when I opened my eyes, she was smiling. She told me to come in, that I'd get cold outside. For the first 10 minutes, I couldn't speak. I really wanted to. I wanted to say something. Something like, I don't know, I'm sorry for your loss. He was a great kid. He didn't deserve what happened to him. If there was a way to trade places with him, I would. Everything I wanted to say to her was cliche and desperate. But it didn't matter. I couldn't even answer her when she asked if the flowers were for her. I just pushed them into her arms. She seemed to understand. When I finally found the words, I asked if she wanted me to cook for her. She was worried about keeping me too late, of course, but I assured her that the rest of my family was out and I didn't want to be home alone. She smiled and nodded and left me to it. Normally, I cook by myself. It's easier that way, with only the eyes on the walls watching, but as soon as Kathy left the kitchen, I felt irreparably lonely. It was like there was a chip-sized hole in my chest. I almost started crying into the pasta. It didn't help that the walls were covered in pictures of him, sunny as always. I would have smiled at them, but it felt wrong. Like they were staring at me, judging. When I finished, I found Kathy sitting on the sofa, attempting to read. I asked her if I could have a look at his room, and she said yes. And I did. It looked no different from the last time I saw it. I'm not sure what I expected, really, but it was unnerving for everything to be the exact same as it had before his disappearance. Before his Well, his death. 3 guitars hung on the wall. They were well within my reach, but Chip would have had to stand on his tiptoes to retrieve them. I'd sometimes ask him to play for me just to watch him struggle to reach for one of the instruments. Plants sat on the windowsill, and I couldn't help but think about how soon they'd die too. The floor was a mess. Only half the books had been placed on shelves, while the others rested in piles on the floor. But despite how cluttered the room was, without Chip there, it just felt empty. I knelt on the bed to examine the pinboard which hung on the wall, and my eyes were greeted with a collection of memories. A documentation of our 3-year friendship. Tickets from concerts, plays and book signings, and notes we'd passed each other during lessons. But the photos were the most painful to look at. There was one of Chip and his mother on Kathy's 50th birthday. Another of Chip and his pets, a Labrador named Mulder and a tabby cat named Scully. Chip was asleep on the sofa, drooling on his oversized blue jumper. And one photo captured the whole gang, Chip, Sam, Nikki, Calliope, Freddy and me. It had been taken almost a year before, on Calliope's 17th birthday. But the photo that hurt me the most was the one of Chip and I, alone together in this room, taken at a sleepover 3 months ago. I remember that sleepover really well. We were sitting on his bed, playing Never Have I Ever, because we were bored. Because we had nothing better to do, and because Chip was a nosy bastard. He was reading questions off his phone, since we were having trouble thinking of our own questions. The first one that came up was, "Never have I ever kissed a boy." Chip said that he had, which I already knew, and I sort of blurted out that I had too. He didn't know that, but he wasn't shocked. He just sort of laughed and said, "Well, Evan, that doesn't sound very straight to me." And I told him, "You know what, Chip? I don't think I am." He laughed again and the conversation moved on quickly. I think he could tell I wasn't quite ready to get into it. I was still working things out sexuality-wise, and he made one last joke about how there wasn't a single straight person in our little group. And then he very proudly announced that ghost hunting is a gays-only event. But it was actually that conversation that made me want to come out to my family. I mean, I sort of knew they'd accept me being bi. No one in my family is straight. But I don't think I would have got to that point as quickly as I did if it wasn't for Chip. The rest of the night I listened to Chip ramble on about... I can't exactly remember what. All I could focus on was how beautiful he was when he talked. He could talk for hours, and his words were filled with so much passion that one would think he'd combust. I loved him like this, face alight and hands alive with movement. God, he was brilliant, inspiring. perfect. I wanted time to freeze in that moment, so it would last forever. But it didn't. It didn't.
It's too quiet. I know, it's a library, but it's too quiet. I need noise. Noise would be really comforting right now. Maybe I should call Nikki and see if he'll argue with me. That would give me something to listen to. Boy is missing. A boy is presumed dead. This is a time of chaos, so why is the world so quiet? I want to scream. To shout. To swear. To kick the walls. To throw something. I want chaos. Chip deserves chaos. He deserves shouting and swearing and screaming and angry songs about him and about how no one is looking for him. He doesn't deserve silence. He deserves to be remembered with a crash of drums and a stomping of feet. If he's going to disappear, he has to leave noise in his wake, something to remember him by. If the silence continues, he will be forgotten. That's what happens to people who go missing in this town. They're forgotten as soon as the next one is taken. But that won't happen to Chip. Not if I find him. I've been scouring the internet for stories of other spirits for disappearances. The list seems to be endless. Aaron Christian disappeared when he was 57, last seen in a swimming pool by his daughter, Laura. Dana Waters disappeared when she was 25, last seen at a bookshop by her boyfriend, Alan. Shay Sidney disappeared when they were 15, last seen in their garden by their mother, Jackie. Harry and Adela Daniels disappeared when Harry was 21 and Adela was 23. They were last seen in the woods by a passing stranger. Ricky Paulson, he disappeared when he was 19. He was last seen in his bedroom by his brother, Ross. You know, that list goes on. Many of the missing persons were reported to have been acting strangely or saying strange things. Dana Waters hadn't slept in a week before her disappearance. She had allegedly stood outside a bookshop all night, determined to be the first one inside, and cleared the shelves of books about paranormal. When her boyfriend Alan turned up in the shop, after receiving a call from the owner, Dana had reportedly stared at him for a full minute before racing out of the shop and into the street. And then she was gone. I can't remember Chip acting particularly strange before his disappearance. I want to ask Evan and Kathy, but it's probably too soon. I don't care how, but Chip Romero is going to be found. He is going to return to us, and he is going to make our miserable lives worth living again. I think I found something.
I know, I look awful.
Yeah, you do. But that's what you get for asking to borrow clothes from Nikki Dixon.
It's his fault I had to walk outside in the blood rain.
Is it?
Yes.
I mean, if I remember correctly, you were under no obligation to come with us, but you chose to. So it is kind of your fault that you got covered in blood rain.
Well, you went, so I went. It's as simple as that.
And if I jumped into the Tooth Lake, would you jump in too?
Well, yeah. Who else is going to get you out of there?
Come on, come sit with us. I think we're going to watch a movie or something.
Is Nikki picking what we watch?
I think so.
It'd better not be a musical.
Ah, they're not that bad.
They are when he sings along.
Come on.
I don't want Sam to see me like this. She'll never let me live it down. How come Nikki can pull off a shirt with sharks wearing sunglasses on it, but I can't?
Ah, see, we're used to it on him. On you, it just looks sort of wrong. Hey, take my hoodie.
Are you sure?
Yep. See, now no one can even tell you're wearing the Sharks and Sunglasses shirt.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Chip's clothes were always way too big for him. Almost all his jumpers and hoodies and a lot of his shirts and jackets were at least two sizes too big. And he was never seen without a ring that his mum gave him for his 14th birthday. He always wore it, which is why I find it disturbing that the ring is just lying here on the floor of his bedroom. It's still in his room, which means he wasn't wearing it when he disappeared. If he took it off, he always put it somewhere safe. Always. He wouldn't just leave it on the floor. I don't understand why it's still here. Kathy said I could take anything I wanted. I was going to take a jumper or something. His clothes, they're soft, comforting, just nice. That they make me feel safe. But all of Chip's clothes are too small for me. Except the grey hoodie. It's soft and grey, and it was always too big for Chip. I've worn it a few times and it's a perfect fit, really. I remember he wore it to bed the last time we had a sleepover. Kathy told him he'd overheat in the night, and Chip, headstrong as ever, furiously disagreed and bet her that he wouldn't. Kathy won £5 that night. One night, Chip told me that the hoodie was mainly for sleeping in. The only time he wore it during the day was on bad mental health days when he felt particularly dysphoric. It was a comfort for him. So whenever I saw him in that hoodie, I'd ask him if he wanted a hug, if he wanted to skip his lessons with me. I bought his lunch for him, or some hot chocolate. I spent the whole day trying to make him happy. I miss doing that. I think I understand why Chip wore this on his worst days. It's soft and warm, and it smells like Chip's bedroom. It feels like the ghost of a hug from him. Chip, if you're still here, if you're in this room, please listen. The ghosts of Spiritsford leave this world in 2 weeks, so please haunt me before you go. Well, that was stupid. Kathy is moving back to Spain to be with her mum. She told me earlier, the Romeros will be gone and I'll be stuck here. I told her I'd look after the pets and the plants and the house. I guess I have a dog and a cat now. Should probably tell my Ren about that one.
Callie! Calliope, wait for me!
What do you want, Sam?
You're gonna hate me.
Bold of you to assume I don't already, but continue.
Just hear me out, okay?
Have we considered the possibility of alien abduction?
Are you mad?
The Children of Room 56 is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International license and distributed by the Listless Network. This episode was written and directed by Alex Abrahams and edited by Livy Martin and Alex Abrahams, with theme music composed by Jordan Hendrickson. The podcast cover art is by Samantha Cook, and today's episode art is by Hannah Zuzmanovic. The script editors for this episode were Jordan Hendrickson, Wynn Grillo, Megan Kaysen, Noelle Day, and Gray Kilgour. And Calliope's poem was written by Tierney Bennett and Eden J. Storm. In today's episode, you heard the voices of
Michael M. as Chip Romero,
Tam Silverman as Sam Moss,
Alex Abrahams as Evan Pierce,
Chloe Peterson as Headmaster Newton,
Moira Juliet Scott as Calliope Morris,
the illustrious Sean Timboken Flowers as Nikki Dixon,
Eden J. Storm as Freddie Shaw.
If you have the means to do so, you can support us on Patreon or Ko-fi, or tell a friend about the podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok and Tumblr at Room56Pod, and you can email us at thechildrenofroom56@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
So, you want to be a forget-me-not? Understandable. I mean, between the awesome fighting...
On guard!
What?
You want to fight, but...
The mayhem.
Open flame. Stop flopping, you'll feed me. Fire.
And our dear magical companions. It's no wonder. And that's not even mentioning our infamous captain and first mate, the Sunken Savage, and the White Fox.
Anyone on our tail?
If they aren't now, they will be soon. Forget-me-nots, prepare for battle.
Still, it isn't all fun and games. If you really want to be a forget-me-not, you'll need to be prepared for some fearsome rivals.
Is that any way to greet an old friend now, Zinkus?
It seems we have a most interesting evening ahead of us.
And the terrifying sea beasties.
Foolish human! We know all of your forms!
Our powers are infinite.
So, do you think you're ready? Yeah? Okay, then get ready for an unforgettable ride.
The Adventures of the Forget-Me-Nots is a queer adventure podcast about finding your family on the high seas. Check out our first season wherever you get your podcasts. See you there, mateys.